Welcome everybody to this episode of Pharmacy Pathways, and today we have Dr. Lauren Klein, who is going to be talking about her experience as a clinical diabetes specialist in the inpatient, also known as hospital, setting. So everyone give a round of applause virtually for Dr. Lauren Klein. Yay!
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks you for being here. And for, oh, I shouldn't be mentioning that I went to residency with Lauren. So we did our residencies in ambulatory care or pharmacy practice together. She was in her second year while I was completing my first year, and we've been friends ever since. So this isn't just your average pharmacist or interview. This is my close friend. And you know, this is personal. This interview is personal. She has a lot to share with us. So with that being said, give us a little of background as to who you are, Lauren, where you come from, and how you got to Maryland.
Sure. So I'm originally from San Diego, California. I did my undergraduate degree at the University of San Francisco, Fight On, USC. When I was an undergrad, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I went in undecided, and after a few introductory courses, I settled on health promotion disease prevention, which is kind of like a public health degree. While doing that, I decided I definitely wanted to go into healthcare, and I decided on pharmacy because I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. A lot of my friends were going pre-dentistry, but like being in people's mouths all day was like not for me. So I settled on pharmacy because when doing research, I saw that they had a lot of options. Like, it wasn't just working in CVS. It wasn't just working in the hospital. There was a wide variety of things to do. So decided pretty early on freshman year I wanted to go to pharmacy school, but I still really loved public health. So I decided to do my master's in global medicine before going off to pharmacy school. And then, like you mentioned, we did residency together. So after pharmacy school, I did a year of residency at home in San Diego and then came out to Maryland for my PGY2 in AmCare, where I met you.
Yes, where she met me. And then you decided to stay here too for work.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I wanted to pursue a residency out on the East Coast was because of the diversity. And it was really important for me to work with patients and providers that looked like me as well. I was 30 years old when I had my first Black physician as a doctor, and that just says a lot, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so the diversity for me, being out on the East Coast compared to California, was what kind of drove me here. And I thought I'd be here for a year, but really fell in love with the area, the people, the culture, and had a really great job opportunity, so stayed around.
And what is this job opportunity that you are speaking of?
Yes, so I am a clinical pharmacy specialist for diabetes stewardship in the inpatient setting, like you said, work in a hospital. And then I also am able to utilize my ambulatory care training by staffing our transitional care clinic and our heart failure bridge clinic. And that kind of came about because of some staffing challenges, but it's been like the best of both worlds for me because I get to do a little bit of inpatient and a little bit of outpatient as well.
Okay, and I know I started off with the ambulatory care terminology, but for those who don't know what ambulatory care means, let's break that down a little bit, the difference between inpatient, outpatient, what that means.
Sure, so when I think about ambulatory care, the way that I explain it is managing chronic disease states. So once a doctor has diagnosed you with a disease state that is usually lifelong, so things like diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart failure, things that need to be followed up closely over time, that's kind of our ambulatory care or outpatient environments and spaces where pharmacists can work, compared to the inpatient setting where people are hospitalized, usually for acute reasons, very short stays. We get them in and out in that setting. I feel like with ambulatory care, you really get to know your patients and you get to follow them and you get to kind of, my favorite part is just like watching them improve and like seeing them get invested in their health. You don't necessarily get that on the inpatient setting, which is why it's nice to kind of like see both sides.
Yeah, so in your position right now, You said you spent some time on the clinic setting, but what are you mainly doing within your role? Because your main role functions in the inpatient arena. So what are you doing? What is your day-to-day like?
Sure. So I'm the diabetes stewardship pharmacist in the inpatient setting. And my job didn't exist. I'm the first person to kind of occupy this space. So I got to kind of create the role. And when I first started, I just kind of did a lot of observing and seeing what's going on, where are the identified needs in the hospital setting. So I'd kind of break down like my position in three roles. So the first is inpatient glucose management. So essentially, I'm looking at patients' blood sugars while they're in the hospital and then making recommendations for their medications while they're in the hospital and also once they're going to be discharged. The second thing I do is a lot of education. So for our nurses, our pharmacists, and for our providers. So a lot of in-services, a lot of like grand rounds, a lot
Like
of.
in-service presentations.
Correct.
Okay.
So going to the floors and talking to nurses about a change from Novolog to Humalog, one insulin to another insulin, things like that. Doing presentations for our providers, showing them the data that we have. That's kind of the third piece of my job is safety and quality metrics. So I look at all of the data surrounding high blood sugars and low blood sugars in the hospital, present that, and identify areas where we can be doing better.
That's a lot. That's a lot, especially for your first job out of residency. So, what do you feel like made you prepare to take on a role like that?
What made me prepared? I think I had really good foundation coming out of pharmacy school. I attended UCSF, one of the best pharmacy schools in the nation.
We're just gonna.
We go back and forth between one and two on the rankings.
We
But I
do.
felt like I had a really good foundation clinically, and I have always, received feedback that I do well with presentations and, talking to not only providers but patients as well. And I had the confidence. Like it was something that I felt like I could have an impact on and something, new. There was no footsteps to follow in. I was really able to kind of make my own path. And I think, my confidence, while I, you don't know everything, I never worked in the inpatient setting before, but I just felt very confident, and I also felt very supported by my leadership to kind of do the things that I thought would be impactful.
So, and then in our residency program, there was a lot of like administrative, like initiative driven things that we were doing as well that I feel like are very helpful when you're coming out and trying to get into the workforce, especially if you are in a place that is looking at like systems and processes and initiatives to help increase safety, such as what you're doing. So I definitely think that boosted you up there to be prepared for that role.
Yeah, as a PGY2, had the opportunity to be involved in creating policies, and that's now something that I do on a regular basis on my own. So just being exposed to a lot of different things, like you said, both clinically and administratively, I think really helped just kind of build the foundation that I've been able to kind of leap off of.
Do you think you would have been prepared for this role without a residency? Because I know some people, I feel like when it comes to residency for pharmacists, we either feel like yes, it helps so much, I'm so glad I did it, or people are like, man, I didn't need to do this. Like, I could have just started working.
Sure. I'll say yes. And I don't have, the other pathway to compare it to. Like, could I have done it 2 years straight out of pharmacy school? Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't have had the experience, though, that I've gained and the resources that I've, been able to acquire without it. I will say that when I was in pharmacy school, it was more of like, this is what happens next. After pharmacy school, you do a residency. That was kind of the environment that I was in. So I always knew, oh, I was going to do a residency. It didn't really seem like an option. Obviously, it's an option, but it just felt like if you want to get a good job, if you want to do the specialty you want to do, then you do a residency. And so I did two of them.
Yes, I only did one. So you got that, girl. But yeah, so And when we're in pharmacy school, the school itself can really drive your decision because mine was the same. UNC is the same. And we were also very, very, I would say clinically
strong,
fostered.
Yes.
So a lot of us wanted to go out into the clinical world. And then you did have this big industry component, mm-hmm. and they chose to do fellowships. But those who weren't doing residencies or fellowships were really kind of going out into the retail setting.
Correct.
Or in a very niche specific. I don't even know where they landed eventually. But that's what I saw most of the times. But a lot of that does depend on your program. Mm-hmm. Some programs, I've heard students say that their programs are very retail focused.
Which is interesting.
Even in 2023, 2024 era, I thought that was very interesting as well. For many reasons we won't get into.
That's another video. That's yes. another topic.
So, like, when you're researching a pharmacy school that you want to go to, you also want to understand what their values are and what that program really emphasizes in the curriculum, and because
affect your trajectory.
Yes, affect your trajectory.
And yes. I would say, too, like, looking at what they offer. So, like, some schools, they offer, like, maybe 8 months of clinical rotations, whereas mine had a year and a half of clinical rotations. So we started our rotations in our, you know, a little bit earlier on. Also, what affiliations does the school have with surrounding hospitals and surrounding businesses? Because that's going to open the door to what kind of experiences you have as a student. Mm-hmm. And for me, I knew I wanted to just dip my feet into every single thing, because how would I know what I want to do if I haven't seen many of the options out there? So, like, I did a rotation in the emergency room. Yeah. I did a rotation, you know, long-term care, things like that, just things I hadn't heard of, things that weren't really advertised mm-hmm. as much. And had I not done a rotation in ambulatory care, I wouldn't have known, you know, that this was for me and this was exciting mm-hmm. for me. This is what I want to do. So
I know UNC had, so we have the UNC hospital systems, but then they also have so many clinics. Mm-hmm. So we were unique in that we had a lot of ambulatory care clinics that we could go and do our rotations at. And I would see so many collaborative practice agreements. Mm-hmm. So where the pharmacist has an agreement with the physician over that practice that they can actually adjust medications, order labs without having to go through the provider first, the doctor first. And that was my baseline. And that really drove also me wanting to be very hands-on with patients and being able to interpret labs and being mm-hmm. and knowing which doses to recommend mm-hmm. because that was my baseline and I didn't know anything else. So that really, that's another thing that will drive your experience, the type of pharmacist that they have available in those rotations.
Absolutely. And I'll just piggyback off of that. So that was what I really liked about AmCare too, was the autonomy and really seeing mm-hmm. pharmacists work at the top of their license and really being independent practitioners under, you know, their physician, but you got to see patients on your own. You yeah. got to adjust medications on your own, and you just really had the knowledge to do so. Mm-hmm. So right now I have a collaborative practice agreement through the state of Maryland with our outpatient, so nice. Able to do that for certain disease
okay.
states.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that got approved recently. And then on the inpatient setting, it works a little bit different. But one of the things that was one of my goals when I started was, you know, really expanding the scope that pharmacists had in the inpatient setting. So I was able to do that. We're now able to adjust insulin without, you know, asking a provider. We work under a scope. So mm-hmm. we're able to adjust insulin. We're able to order certain labs, and we're able to insert certain consults that we were unable to do previously without, you know, getting the physician approval for. So, you know, my nice. Goal in my role is to really advance the role of the pharmacist in the inpatient setting, because we have the education, we have the mm-hmm. knowledge to do so. And the providers really love pharmacy, and they really, once they see the value a pharmacist can have on their team, they're so supportive. And that's yeah. just been like the best part.
Yeah, a lot of people initially don't, if they haven't already had experience with a pharmacist, they're looking at you like, what are you going to do for me? Mm-hmm. I am a doctor. Like, what is this pharmacist going to tell me? And then the minute that a pharmacist gets involved, the value is seen mm-hmm. almost immediately. Well, maybe not almost immediately, but with time, they can feel the impact immediately.
Absolutely.
But the data might take a little longer to go through to start negotiating contracts. Am I going to need positions on board? Mm-hmm. But so even after you graduated, did 2 years of residency, you still decided to get a certification afterwards, which is, I feel like, is was also the standard for the pharmacists we both saw.
Yes.
In our practice, our rotations. So tell us a little bit about your certification and why pharmacists might choose to get certified afterwards.
Sure. So after residency, I decided to do the BCACP, so the board certification for ambulatory care practice. I don't know if those letters align, but that's what it is. So with that certification, you're now board certified in this specialty area. And the BPS is an organization that certifies pharmacists. So you take an exam, you pay a lot of money, you do a lot of continuing education to have some extra letters behind your name. For me, and again, it was one of those things where when you're looking at jobs, when you're in residency, you can see what the requirements are. And a lot of the preferred candidates had board certification. And like you said, a lot of the pharmacists that I worked for had board certification. So it was like, okay, they did a residency, they did board certification, yeah. And now they're getting to do all these cool things kind of autonomously within the scope of their practice. And so that kind of drove me to want to do that as well, kind of follow in those footsteps, get board certified, that kind of, you know, you're now the expert kind of mm-hmm. within that field. And then you're required to, like I said, do continuing education. So like as new drugs come out, as new therapies come out, as guidelines change, you're kind of required to stay on top of that. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that pressure to kind of be on top of things through not only just, you know, for yourself, but through that certification. Yeah. But I will say that it really was like jobs want this. And so I'm going to have it.
So it makes you more competitive.
Definitely.
It can also help you negotiate your salary. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but, you know, a little something, something. But it also, what I found was that it felt like I was studying for my boards, like, all over again. Mm-hmm. And stuff that I haven't even seen since I was in the classroom or studying for the NatPlex, I was having to sit in front of again. So I'm certified in pharmacotherapy. So that's more inpatient driven,
I would say. And I feel like that's more umbrella. Like it encompasses more topics.
It does, because it had me studying.
You did like some oncology fluids, stuff, right?
Yeah. Fluid resuscitation, oncology. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm primary care. Like, what's happening? So mm-hmm. that was a lot. And it was like, oh my goodness. It reminded me why I chose to do like outpatient, you know, but it was a lot, but I really appreciated having to see all that stuff again. I feel like it kept me sharp. And now that I'm going to kind of have to make sure I'm staying on the my A game by the continuing education, because it's an addition to the continuing education you need to keep your license active mm-hmm. through the state. Mm-hmm. It doesn't add on, unfortunately. No. It's a separate entity of continuing education. So the state that you're licensed in will have different parameters or different areas that you need to get your continuing educations in. Like some will require 2 to 4 hours of vaccination, and for example, whereas for the board specialty, it's going to be more focused to the clinical niche that you are specialized in. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be helpful. Now, do you think that you're going to go back and get a certified in diabetes, because that's its own certification?
Right. So I go back and forth on this often. So one of the things I said I would want to do is do the BCADM, which is a board certification for advanced diabetes management. So that is something that I'm considering. What I will say, though, is that I'm already doing all of the things for that certification in my daily practice. So I could pay money and take another exam to have more mm-hmm. letters behind my name, or I can just continue in my current practice without the extra letters behind my name and save hundreds of dollars each year. So that's kind of mm-hmm. where I'm at. But I do think that the extra certifications just kind of give you more education, and I'm all for that. Like, I love learning. I love learning new things. I love going to conferences mm-hmm. and networking with people kind of yeah. in the same, excited about the same things that I am. So undecided, to be determined.
Yeah, I think you make a good point because, for example, if the role was already established and they were looking for now a new lead diabetes pharmacist to come in, they might want, pretty sure they would want them to have that certification mm-hmm. on board now mm-hmm. that it's already been established. But you came in and you birthed it into what it is and you grew with the program.
Mm-hmm. Without that certification.
So let's talk about that component for people who want to get into an area, but they're like, well, I didn't focus on this in my training. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can excel in that job and it's specific if that's not what my training is in. Mm-hmm. Because you had diabetes along the way, but it's not something that you like laser focused in.
I feel like when you're a student and you're a resident, you're not specialized, right? Like as a student, you're wide scope needing to learn a little bit about everything. As a PGY1 resident, it's not as focused. It's more broad. Some of them can be more focused. I know yours, you didn't have any inpatient. I didn't either. Mm-hmm, yeah. Just based off of the residency, PGY2s are more specialized, and that does kind of hone in the disease states that you're focused on, and more so where the patients are. It's like the patient population, because you're going to mm-hmm. have patients with diabetes in the hospital and outside of the hospital. In terms of, you know, specializing or picking a specialty, one of the things I was always worried about was that if I spend so much time on one disease state, I'm going to forget everything about everything yeah. else. And that's why I really liked ambulatory care, because you see most patients don't just have one disease state. They have multiple. Yeah. And so you get to kind of see that all day. And if you're seeing 8 patients a day, you're seeing a lot of different disease states. A lot of them are the same, but you're, mm-hmm. you know, getting to, you know, see a lot of different things. When I was doing my PGY2, I was really interested in HIV infectious diseases. That was something that I had a lot of exposure to in pharmacy school. And then I had a really great rotation in residency. Mm-hmm. But I also felt the same about diabetes. I had a really great year-long rotation as a PGY1. PGY2, I didn't have as much exposure. So when the opportunity came up, it was like, I can do this. You know, mm-hmm. residency and pharmacy school really draw out your strengths. And like, if you're someone who likes to learn, and if you're someone, you know, that knows what your resources are and where to go to find them, you can specialize in anything that you want to.
That's really good advice. Yeah, that's what I tell the students that I was precepting back when I used to precept, sad face. So I would be very careful about making sure that they didn't feel bad for not knowing mm-hmm. certain things mm-hmm. because I just remember feeling that way. Like if I didn't know it on a rotation, like I felt stupid, or I felt like unworthy of being there. Like I was like ashamed that the preceptor had to explain certain things to me. And I had to give, me being the type of learner who I am, where I have to see things, I would say, more than my peers did. I would have to study. I would have to put in more time and hours more than my peers did. And sometimes I wouldn't even get like the same grade as them. Mm-hmm. But when it would come to interacting with a patient and communicating with a patient, that's where my strength was. Mm-hmm. So you may beat me on the textbook, but you're not gonna beat me in the clinic mm-hmm. or when I'm talking to that patient. Mm-hmm. And so I had to draw on my strengths and I had to fall back on my training. And so I tell my students who are like, oh, I remember seeing this, but I don't remember. And it's like, that's okay. Like, as long as you know where to look it up, and then as you keep seeing it repeatedly, like, you'll remember it naturally. But you have to hone in on your strengths.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Nobody knows everything. Yeah. Like, I work with diabetes every single day, and there's still some things that I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's things I never heard of until I hear it for the first time.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always say, and just to echo your point, is, like, if you know where to go to look things up, that is all I can ask for. From a student, from a resident, from another pharmacist, mm-hmm. Look things up. Know where to go to look things up. Like, yeah. Are you on Google or are you on PubMed or are you on UpToDate? Like, those yeah. things matter. Like, know what your resources are, know which resources to use. But it's okay to not know everything. Nobody knows everything.
Yeah, nobody knows everything. So give yourself some grace.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I still use my board certified, my BPS book that I was studying from, because that's just like a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. It feels like the NatPlex upgraded.
Yeah.
Like the big girl NatPlex edition. I love using that book as a resource. So I also want to talk to those who are aspiring to get into pharmacy. And they're hearing all these terms, right? Like inpatient, outpatient, collaborative practice, where you can have more autonomy. What is something that people should think about when they're deciding where in pharmacy they think they might fit well into, or might be the best fit for them?
Mm-hmm. I think the only way to know is like to talk to as many people as you can and to kind of get exposure in as many different areas as you can. So that was kind of, like I said, what drove me to AmCare was I got to see a lot of other things, and then I got to see the thing that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in pharmacy school, we did like a test. There was like a personality test or something that said like where you would excel as a pharmacist. And mine was like a mail order pharmacist not working with patients. And so it's like, okay. But now like I excel in the clinic working with patients, or doing clinical work in the hospital. But, for me, I would just say, talk to as many people as you can, try to get exposure and see as much as you can, because you're never going to know if you like something until you try it.
Mm-hmm. And you can go in and shadow, like it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a job opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be an internship, although I do suggest doing internships.
Yes.
But you can go in and see a pharmacist and just be taken aback by them or curious about what they're doing and ask them if they're allowed to have people come in and shadow on the weekends or in the more, whatever their schedule might allow. So be a little bit bold in your curiosity and don't mm-hmm. be afraid to ask people.
Absolutely. And you said something that sparked something. People are typically surprised when they see pharmacists outside of a retail CVS setting, even in 2024. So even when I go into the clinic and I'm, the first person in seeing the patient, they're like, oh, you're a pharmacist? Like, what's pharmacist doing here? And then
yeah.
they're excited to see us every other time. In transitional care, we go actually in with the physician. It's a co-visit, like the doctor and myself and the patient.
Nice.
It's still very new to a lot of people, like where mm-hmm. they're seeing pharmacists. So I think as long as you can talk to as many people, like I said, and just get exposure to where they can be, I think that's really kind of the key to determining where you best fit. Because mm-hmm. even clinically, if it might not be a clinical thing that you like, but it could just be the interaction that you're seeing or the non-interaction. I have a lot of friends that are like, I don't want to see any patients. Like, I just want to do data stuff, or I just want to work on projects, and there's mm-hmm. a role for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Because you can be a people person, but you have
not want to work with people. Yeah.
Right. Not want to work with people, or you don't mind talking to doctors and fellow health professionals, but talking to patients is not your jam,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa.
Yep.
There's some people who can't stand talking to health professionals
mm-hmm.
and they rather just talk to patients. So doing some research or watching these videos will allow you to know where in pharmacy would be a better fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The inpatient is faster pace. So you have to be on your P's and Q's. You may not have the time like, oh, let me look on Micromedics and see. You might have to come up with that response a little bit quicker
yep.
than when you're in the clinic setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I love working with patients, but right now I'm working remote. So I work with patients over the phone. So I have to do a lot of telephonic counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different personality toll that it takes, because
yeah.
I have to learn how to communicate without being face to face. So the way I say things or the way I articulate things has to be more pronounced, a little bit slower because they can't see my face.
Or your hand gestures.
They can't read my body language. So they're really working off of tone and the cadence of what I'm saying. So you have to learn the different areas and where you might be a best fit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's for the aspiring or the I don't know where what I want to do, or even if I want to do pharmacy, people who may be watching. What about people who we know, right, who have landed somewhere in pharmacy and they're like, maybe not for me. Yeah, this isn't it anymore. Or maybe wasn't it ever.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get out of here? How do I change lanes? What do I do?
I think the best thing I can say is network and put yourself out there. So we actually have a mutual friend who was working in the outpatient setting in more AmCare space, and she now actually works with me in the inpatient space. Yeah. She came in with no inpatient experience, which, you know, usually you're like, eh, but she was so motivated, so enthusiastic, and just willing to learn and wanted to learn and wanted to change her environment. And that spoke more highly of, you know, her experience. Because like I said, if you know where to go and if you're someone who wants to learn and someone who can learn, especially quickly, there's opportunities for you. So I think like that's a really good example of someone who made the switch when, you know, that can be a daunting task is changing what you've known and been doing for years to now being like, oh, I've never done this before, but here we are.
Right.
And she's doing excellent. So I would just say, put yourself out there, network, because who knows which one of your colleagues working at X company might have an opening. It might not directly fit, but if you're excited about an opportunity, leadership wants people who, you know, are excited and open and willing to kind of advance practice in their spaces. So do it.
Do it scared. Life is too short to do something that you don't want to do.
I agree.
For extended
for too long.
We had to do that. I mean, nobody wanted to, you know, go to residency, but we did it because we had to do it. But extended, prolonged periods of time where you're working at a job that makes you miserable for like 5 years plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look into other things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm all tapped out of ideas, Krista. Talk about in this space. Do you have anything else, Lauren?
No, I just feel like if you're interested in pharmacy, if you're in pharmacy and wanting to branch out, just do it. Like, network, talk to as many people as you can, get your feet wet as much as possible, and just dive in, because it's really an excellent career. It really is an excellent place to like meet people and to learn different things. And you just, pharmacy, you never know what's going to happen. Like, one of the beauties of pharmacy is you can change your career every few years if you want to and be doing something completely different, which is not the case in other spaces.
We can pivot. The reason why we can talk about this is you can take up your pharmacy tool bag and just leave and go somewhere else. One thing I would like us to talk about is another reason why I got into clinical is because I knew that if I wanted to pivot, the likelihood of me being able to do so successfully was increased with me coming from a clinical background.
Yep.
That is something to keep in mind.
Yep.
Going to a pharmaceutical company, if you want to become like a medical science liaison, which is MSL, which is...
where the money is, baby.
That's where the money is, industry. You just have so much that you can offer these different spaces, even with medical writing. Mm-hmm. If you have an in-depth clinical understanding, you know how to read literature and interpret and communicate that, you will do really well in medical writing. So having that, a really good foundation of clinical training, sets you up for success to be able to pivot within the field, I would say, more easily than others who might just go right into retail first out of school. I found that, and they'll say this, that they really struggle to get out of the retail space if that's where they went directly and they didn't do a fellowship or a residency. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
And I will say, like, if you are trying to pivot, don't, you know, be discouraged by taking like a lesser job than what you currently are doing to learn a new skill, because that can catapult you in the future to something completely different. So I know managers who've taken like clinical one positions, which is like entry level positions, just so that they can be in a new space. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame and nothing wrong with that. Like, do what you need to do for you and to just advance your practice as a pharmacist.
Yeah. That's a really good. So I think they got a lot of information today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you everyone for tuning in with us. This was Dr. Lauren Klein again, our certified
diabetes
specialist. You're not certifying diabetes. I don't know why I was about to say
clinical pharmacy specialist, diabetes stewardship.
There we go. Bye.